it is led by the DG for now. It's quite a, I'm not going to read this list, but according to this list, we've been joined by close to 22 members of the staff of employment and labor with its entities. We, in the sixth term, the portfolio committee on labor has an added responsibility. It's got an added responsibility, and the ministry and the department has an added mandate, which is employment. And it's happening, that happened at the time that the executive, through the president, talking to the people of South Africa, acknowledge the fact that we have got a challenge in the country of jobs, in particular the young people, women. I would then add the people with disability. And in the sixth administration, then there is employment and labor. And the employment side, I don't think there's anybody who can stand up and confident with them. But what does it take in this employment? We've got, all of us have got different views as members of the portfolio committee, obviously, which are coming from different political parties, but now we are one team at this portfolio committee, that is to ensure that this department that we are overseeing is to ensure that this challenge we are able to walk this path, which is going to be a very difficult path. It's difficult because as we are talking about job creation, the employers are shredding jobs. People outside are anxious. On a lighter note, some of my friends were calling me, Honorable Brigham, saying, yeah, now we're going to get jobs. We're going to send our CVs of our children to the Department of Labor and to Parliament. that was on a lighter note. So as we are to engage with the department in the sixth administration, we will have to understand that we have got a mammoth task. A mammoth task, DG, that says, as you are coming here, it's not just about a presentation, but it's about a presentation that is empowering us, and questions that are then going to be, and comments that are going to be coming from members of Parliament, are questions and comments and clarities that are to empower the department. So both parties here have got a responsibility. It's not us and them. It's all of us. We have got a responsibility of ensuring that the country, with the challenges that are there, is able to see the change. Maybe not a wholesome change, but sectors that within that we are able to say, we'll be able to say as this portfolio committee, at the end of the sixth administration, we say we have, this is the legacy that we have left for the seventh administration. hoping that stakeholders, all of them, I would have loved that when we sit as the portfolio committee, in particular, Labour is present. I always see one, which is concerned with their responsibility. But I would have appreciated that NACTU is here, FEDUSA is here, SAFTU is here, so that they sit and listen and be able maybe to understand some of the things. So we fine, we'll do the work. We will united, we'll have to ensure that I'm saying united honorable members with the understanding that we've got different manifestos, we've got different views, but in the center is that it's not about what we want, it's about what the country is to achieve. We're seated today after a report that the level of high unemployment in the country is high. And some of our provinces, in particular, my province, I've always been biased. I'm from the Eastern Cape, PE, and I'll never be apologetic about that. But I'll always be worried to say, if it's Eastern Cape, KZN, and Gauteng, I don't know which are high, Western Cape, what is happening? So as we will then be moving forward, we'll have to manage our emotions, because this sector has got emotional trust. Workers have got their rights. Employers are saying this. But how then do we ensure that we provide leadership in the country through Parliament and the department, where we think that the department is not pulling its socks as we have expected? We're not going to be apologetic about that. Obviously, we will never create a hostile environment, because if we create a hostile environment, we're not going to be working. If the department says that we think that Parliament is a bit unfair, say it. One analyst, when asked if honorable members are listening to and watching TV, he was asked what would be then the role of the sixth Parliament, and his response was, it is to up its game. I hope you said the sixth Parliament is to up its game. I don't know what that means. But we will up our game together with the department. I am, having said that, I'm welcoming everybody who is here. I think there's a need for an introduction, as much as I don't see it here. What I am going to do that, we will ask honorable members to introduce themselves. They will use the mic. Guests will introduce themselves. They will use mics. House rules are, phones are on silent. Nobody is to take pictures. Only people that are designated to do that, if they're here, will indicate that. Presentation is only going to be made by the Department of Labor. Who does that is their baby. Questions will be asked by honorable members. Responses will be from the department. If guests are here, if they want to rub shoulders during our break, they will then rub shoulders and ask whatever they want to ask, either from members or from the department. But during the session, it's only the department and the members that are then interacting. Unfortunately, we don't have a translation. Thing here, so we'll have to speak English. We'll see as we move forward. I'm Lindelwa Dunjwa. I'm the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Once a health worker, always a health worker. I'm the chair of Employment and Labour. On my left is Solani, who's the committee secretary. On my right, and I don't know why they're on my right, it's Sibusiso, who is sponsoring our content advisor, and Tebogo, who is our researcher. At the extreme left is Kolelo, committee secretary, attached to the office of the secretary, and Bankani Poshe, who is our committee assistant. Spongile, who is our media person. The rest will then introduce themselves. I will hand over to members. DG, and the Ralia Koila Pamasai, Tinja introduce himself. No, we'll start with members. But we'll see. I see they are here. I will hand over to honourable members.
Thank you, honourable chairperson. Greetings to the honourable members as well as the guests and the department. My name is Nobuhle Ngabane.
Morning, honourable members, our guest. My name is Sibongile Zuma.
Morning, honourable members, the department and the guest. I'm Nombulelo Yarmans.
Morning, honourable chair, honourable members, honourable guest. My name is Mwetis Nansele.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael Carter.
Hi, it's Michael Badram, and welcome to the department. I'm known as Bags. Thanks.
Morning, everybody. Sibusiso, welcome, Mdabe.
Honourable Chairperson, thanks. Honourable members, DG and your team, I am Olani Ngwezi, member of this portfolio committee.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Eloise Jordan.
There's a lady there.
Morning, Chair and members. I'm Zizi Puglas from PMG.
You are more than this. The others have been told to somewhere because it's quite small for you. But it's fine. They will come when we're dealing with those entities.
Good morning, Chairperson and the honourable members. My name is Toby Lelamati. I'm the DG of the Department of Labour. I have the lady sitting on my left is Matabelo Matabache. She's in my office. She's going to run the presentation. And on my extreme left, the lady with the blonde hair is the DDG responsible for corporate services. And her name is Ms. Bahumi Matelesi. And sitting right next to her is the DDG responsible for inspection and enforcement services, Mayor Eki Mulwa. Next to her is Date Motiba, is the CEO of Productivity South Africa. And I'll focus on the heads of the entities. The gentleman here with the goatee is the commissioner of the compensation fund, Mr. Vuyo Mafata. And the gentleman sitting right there is Mr. Sam Rotoba. He's the DDG responsible for public employment services. And the gentleman sitting right next to him is the chief financial officer of the department, is Mr. Peggy Matun. The gentleman sitting over there who's pointing at someone else is Mr. Virgil Seafield. Is the DDG responsible for labor market policy and industrial relations. The gentleman who's looking down, who Virgil was pointed at, is the national director of CCMA, Mr. Cameron Mukhaja. Yes, he's there. And behind me is Ms. Marsha Bronkhorst, who's the COO of the department. And over there is Mr. Tebogo Tijane. He's the acting National Executive Director of NEDLAC. And the rest of the colleagues are the minister support staff and the DG support staff and the colleagues that are supporting the CEOs of the departmental entities. Thank you, Chair.
So thank you very much. We have got two apologies, one from Honorable Madishe and the ministry will join us late. They are on a, both of them, they are in a cabinet meeting, so they will join us at, I don't want to say at what time. I would have thought that Honorable Ngabane will indicate so that everybody knows that she is the whip of the committee. Okay, she's the whip of the committee. Okay, no, thank you very much. We will then hand over to you, DG. How who presents, how you present, it's your call. Yeah, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and the honorable members. I'll take it, Chair, that the background and the introductory slides have been read by the honorable members, and I'll go straight to slide 8, which deals with the quarter 3 performance per strategic objective. Our strategic objectives, as listed there, are to strengthening occupational safety, promote equity in the labor market, protecting vulnerable workers, strengthening multilateral and bilateral relations, promoting sound labor relations, monitoring the impact of legislations, strengthening the institutional capacity of the department. We've planned to have 20 indicators, and for the reporting period, which is quarter 3, we had 17 indicators, and out of those 17 indicators, we achieved 14, and we did not achieve 3, and that translates to 82% of 82% achievement. The areas that we did not do well are areas relating to promoting sound labor relations, where we had 3 indicators, we only achieved 1. and also monitoring the impact of legislation where we had one indicator and we did not achieve that indicator, and that dropped the performance of the department to 82. So this is the performance per program, and you can see that labor policy and industrial relations accounts for 40% of the work that was not done, which is the work that I indicated earlier on. The other three branches, which is administration, inspection and enforcement services, public employment services, all achieved their targets. If you look at the same time in quarter three, if you look at 2017, 2018, you compare those two quarters, there's been a steady increase and improvement in the performance of the department. 2017-18, we're sitting at 71%, and 2018-19, we're sitting at 82%. This is just the trends as they are graphically represented there, 2017-2018 to date, reflecting that steady improvement in the performance of the department. We also thought that we'll do a comparative analysis between quarter three of 2017-18 and quarter three of 2018-19, disaggregated it into different provinces. And you can see that your province, Chairperson, in 2017-18, it was at 75%, and 2018-19, it has since achieved all its targets in as far as inspection and enforcement services work is concerned. And Gauteng in 2017-18. Was sitting at 25%, and in 2018-19 they moved to 75%. Northern Cape in 2017-18 they were sitting at 75%, and in 2018-19 their performance went down drastically to 25%. The next one is on the public employment services, how each province has fared. All provinces, with the exception of Mpumalanga, Northwest and Western Cape, did extremely well, with Mpumalanga dropping from 100% to 50%, and Northwest from 100% to 75%, and the Western Cape also from 100% to 75%, in as far as public employment services work is concerned. The next slide is a depiction of our performance over the last 5 years, where we started and where we are, and there's clear indication of the steady rise or steady increase in our performance. So I would like to Chair, move to the next slide, which is slide 16, and that slide reflects the work done by administration. One of the things that we do on a yearly basis is to track and to track the waste, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, track the unauthorized expenditure, and track the irregular expenditure. Not only detect and report them, but investigate them. The 425 that you see there as being fruitless and wasteful is as a result of a number of things. One, the Department of Labor has owns fleet, and as you are aware that when the state owns fleet, there is no insurance. You are self-insured. What it means is that if a car breaks,
you have to fix it, and if you don't have money, you have to wait for the next budget allocation for you to fix it. Now, these cars, they get into accidents, so we have to pay third-party, you know, we have to settle third-party liability. So that's something that we have not planned for. That's something that that we didn't budget for. So that's one of the contributing factors. The second one is the fact that in some instances we book hotels and our colleagues will not show up. But what we do when those when that happens, we raise a debt and we claim the money back from the officials. So the next slide shows the work that we do in informing the public about the work that the Department of Labor, Department of Employment and Labor does. There are three things that we do as a department, and advocacy and education is one of those things that we do. Besides the inspection and enforcement services and paying UIF, we are known for those two things. So the next slides are showing the work that we've done. I'm not going to take you through that, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, because they just detail what communication has done in terms of media production activities and the different media production and the platforms that we have used to communicate. You can see that we're big on Facebook, we're big on Twitter. We also big on the internal communication that using our exchange system. We also use the website of the department to post the work that we do as a department. The next slides are also just indicating how communication has dealt with the annual ministerial events that we publicized in 2018-19. The next slide also, slide 22, is reflect the work that communication has done in terms of publicizing our activities. So is slide 23 and slide 24 and slide 25. Slide 26 reflects the interviews we've made ourselves available to the ministerial press conference briefings, interview on the Sri Lanka TV around issues of child labour, and SABC with regards to non-compliance on labour relations by security companies, EMCA, OHS prohibition on Department of Health building, and of course 702 on the job summit that we've had, and the whole host of other interviews that we've had in slide 27. This slide 28 also reflects the marketing and advertising on the work that we have done, and slide 29 also deals with the same thing, the marketing and advertising, and so is slide 30. So I would like us to now, Chair, move to the next program, which is the inspection and enforcement services. For quarter three, we had a target of 43,746 inspections that we planned to do, and we ended up doing 46,000 inspections. Now, we often have to explain why we overachieved, because AG also wants to know, we may have used money that was allocated for what that was budgeted for something else. Even though we come to the portfolio committee and say this is our target, the public approaches us and say, we have a problem in this area, therefore we require you to do an inspection, so we can't say no. And that's why we often overachieve our target. So we conducted 46,000 inspections, and of those inspected, 37,453 were found compliant, and just over 9,000 were non-compliant. As a result, all those that were non-compliant were issued with enforcement notices. And we also disaggregated the information per province so that you can have an appreciation of the contribution of each province towards inspection and also the enforcement of the our labor legislation. The next slide is an indication of what we call a Director General review, which has to do with the employment equity, where we take designated employers, we subject them to that DG review process to check whether indeed what they have reported to the department is actually what is happening at their establishments, and that's the work that we did there. The next slide, which is slide 39, indicates the sectors that were reviewed: agriculture, mining, electricity, gas and water, construction, and also on the right-hand side you see the sections that were contravened, sections 16, 19, 20, 24, 25, 26, and those are sectors that throughout are common to all the sectors that we have inspected. So the next slide, which is slide 40, explains what those sectors are for. Their consultative forums were not properly instituted as required by Section 16, read with Section 17 of the Employment Equity. Some of these companies failed to assign senior managers to deal with employment equity issues. They have assigned junior officials, which is in contravention of Section 24 of the Employment Equity legislation. And some of the companies have, designated companies, prepared employment equity plans that were not informed by proper audit and analysis as required by Section 19. And the employment equity plans prepared did not comply with the requirements of Section 20, and no implementations were there. Employment equity reports as required by Section 21 were not informed by an EE plan and submitted to the Director General without proper consultation, as is a requirement. And, of course, failure to keep records as required by Section 26. We then decided that as part of the interventions, we will interact with the employer organizations, employment equity consultative forums, and trade union federations. We will also serve confirmatory letters to employers who have failed to comply within the time frames, because whenever we do the DG review, we give CEOs recommendations, and we insist that when we deliver the recommendations, it must be the CEOs who receive the recommendations, because it is them who must implement those recommendations. We also do what we call employment equity procedural inspections, and those are inspections that we simply go and check whether the companies have done what they are supposed to do administratively, whether they've established the consultative forums, and unfortunately, a number of these companies, they are still at the infancy stage in as far as employment equity is concerned, because some of them have not even established the consultative forums, which are basic things that are required by the law. The areas of non-compliance, again, I spoke about the consultative forum and the failure to appoint senior managers, and also the employment equity plans that were prepared were defective, and with issues to these companies for undertakings and compliance orders respectively. The next slide is just our interventions. So we of course served confirmatory letters to employers who have failed to comply, and we've put together a structured advocacy sessions to strengthen the understanding of EE and to deepen the employers' and workers' understanding of employment equity. The next slide is a slide reflecting the work we did in terms of the basic conditions of employment. We had a target of 35,000 inspections. We ended up doing 36,000. And those who were complying were 31,000, and those that were not complying were only 4,554. And we also broken it down in terms of provinces so that we can see which provinces are doing well and which provinces aren't doing well. So these are the areas that were not complied with, these are the sectors that were not complying: the wholesale and retail, hospitality sector, farm worker sector, community services, and the private security. And these are the areas of non-compliance: non-payment of wages, non-issuing of payslips, illegal deductions, non-issuing of particulars of employment, and non-signing of attendance to prove working hours, including overtime. And the next slide is our interventions. The following slide 49, talks to the occupational health and safety work that we do. We planned to do 472,000 inspections. We ended up doing 5,000, and of those, 3,203 complied, and 1,959 did not comply. And that translates to 62% compliances. Next slide is just the graphical representation of those inspections. And the next slide is the indication of the sectors that were inspected, and those sectors that are not compliant. And the different provinces and the focus of each province. You see, for instance, KZN, they did 897 inspection around construction. That usually is an indication of the number of construction activities in that area, and that's why you will have that focus. And then, of course, the next slide is just a graphical representation of the sectors inspected. The highlights of the sectors inspected, once again, the construction sector topped the rest of the sectors, as I've explained. And that's largely because the construction industry has generally two fatalities a week. And what it means, if I use a crude English term, they kill people, two people die a week in the construction industry, in general terms. So that's why we've put it on our radar screen, so that we can focus on this sector. It's a very important sector of our economy. The iron and steel sector and the wholesale and retail sector followed in a distant second, and the bulk of the inspections conducted in the wholesale and retail sector were conducted by Free State. The next slide just indicates the percentage of incidents that were reported and investigated and finalized within 30 days. It's important that we track this. Honorable members and Chairperson, you'll recall the expose done by ENCA with regards to the failure by some companies to report incidences to the compensation fund and to the department, and that on its own constitutes an offence, and our inspectors are busy putting together prosecuting documents. that's just a graphical representation of those incidents. And the next slide just shows that we also register entities, boilers, lifts, vessels under pressure, and all that. So just shows how we are dealing with those applications as a department. That's, next slide, just a graphical representation of that. Employment audit services, these are inspectors that go and look at, they look at payrolls and check whether companies do contribute to the unemployment insurance fund and the compensation fund. So we have those set of inspectors that are dedicated for that work. So they planned to do 4,000 and they ended up doing 3,000, which translates to 54% of the work that they did. And of course they found 46% of the companies that were audited to be non-compliant, and of they were issued with the non-compliance and notices. The areas of non-compliance relate to declaration in terms of Section 56 of the Unemployment Insurance Fund and the failure to register with the fund and non-payment of contributions. We pick up sometimes that companies deduct UIF contributions to from the workers' salaries and just fail to pay it over to the Unemployment Insurance Fund. And the sectors that are guilty of doing this private security, domestic construction, wholesale and retail, and of course manufacturing. The next slide is the interventions that we came up with. And the next slide is just work done for the compensation fund by the what we call payroll auditors, which is similar to what they did for UIF. Again, the issue of declarations is also a problem in the very same sectors that are not complying. And the interventions are all almost the same. The next slide shows the monies that were recovered through penalties imposed to non-compliant employers. In the Eastern Cape, we managed to recover at just over 336,000, and in Limpopo, 7,000. In Northwest, just over 90,000. In the Western Cape, 81,000, and in total, 515,882. Was recovered through those penalties that were imposed to the non-complying companies. So the next slide is prosecution, because when companies are not complying with the law, we have to refer them for prosecution. And on the DG reviews, we referred 3. On the employment equity procedural, we referred 15. On issues relating to basic condition of employment, we issued 608. On OHS, we issued 16. On the employer audit, we issued 71. The next program is public employment services. Here, we have a responsibility of registering work seekers. And that's the contribution of the registration of those work seekers per province. And quota three, the first one is the target per province, and the next slide reflects the actual work seekers registered per province. The next slide is a disaggregation of that information by age groups, and this information is exactly in line with the information that with the statistics that was issued out by the statistician general. So the work that we do also assist that that office too. So the 60% of those that are registered are between the ages of 16 and 35, and 40% are adults aged 36 years and above. And as I've indicated, these figures are in line with those published by Stats SA, which are characterized by high youth unemployment rate. And according to the latest ULF S3 of 2018, that 9% of young people aged 15 and 39 years were unemployed, and that has since increased. So the next slide just shows the work seekers registered by disability, where 678 were of disability related to blindness, 299 physical disability, 168 chronic conditions. So the next slide, work seekers registered by equity, 85% of work seekers registered were Africans, 11% were colored, 3% were whites, and only 1% Indians, and the remaining 1,630 were not specified by equity group. So the next slide reflects the opportunities that were registered on our employment services system. Only 29% of registered work and learning opportunities were classified according to economic sectors. So the following sectors registered most of the work and learning opportunities, and that's agriculture, construction, safety, and security. The opportunities registered by type, we have 59% of opportunities registered were for formal jobs, and 22% were just projects, and 13% were learnerships, and the remaining 6% were split as follows: SIPs 55%, internships 2%, UIF labor activation program 2%, 2,453, apprenticeship 2,104. Will program 77, operations Pakisa 25. Opportunities and placement by sector. You can see from the slide of Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, that agriculture tops the list with respect to opportunities that we have on our system. And yet, if you look at the placement, it's 3,146. And you'll always see that there's a disjuncture between the opportunities that are placed, opportunities that are recorded on the system, and the work seekers placed. And that's largely due to the structural nature of this unemployment and the need for the country to, and the economy to, especially the sectors that are very important in anchoring employment in those sectors. Productive sectors are mining, manufacturing, even agriculture and construction. And that's why they form the trust of the government priorities. Work seekers registered and employment counseling by province. This is a service that we provide to work seekers where we provide employment counseling, preparing them for the interviews, and so that when they attend these interviews, they are ready for those interviews. Placement or opportunities type, I think we've already spoken to this, where 58% were formal jobs, and 29% were projects, and 8% were learnerships, and 2% were internships. Placement by economic sector, I think we've also reflected on this. There was a diagram that we showed there which indicates the placement by economic sector. Placement by age group, total of 31,741 work seekers were placed in this reporting period, and almost three quarters of work seekers placed were young people aged 16 and 35 years, so that bodes well for these young people. And if we can scale up these activities and projects, we'll make a dent in the unemployment, especially in this category of 16 to 35. So the remaining 9,237 are work seekers aged 36 years and above. So the next slide looks at work seekers registered, employment counseling opportunities and placement by province. So this is just the contribution of each province, Honorable Chairperson. The next program is labor policy and industrial relations. We register organization, employer organizations, we register trade unions. So we just give you a sense of the applications that we've received and those that were refused and the deregistration of trade unions. So for quarter one, we received 35 applications, quarter two, 27, quarter three, 38, and we have approved 4, quarter one, 5 in quarter two, 6 in quarter three. And the applications that were refused were 31, 22, and 32. So you can see that we have more refusals compared to the number that we have approved. And that's largely because the Office of the Registrar has found that a number of these applications were just bogus applications, where in some instances you have couples applying to register a trade union just for them to have access to CCMA. There are no workers, just a couple, and maybe they are kids. The next slide is just application received per sector. And the next one is trade union members per sector, just reflecting the quarter three data. And the next slide is trade union members per sector again. And the trade union members refused per sector. We've already indicated the number that we have refused. And slide 88, trade union members refused. It's a continuation of that. And slide 89 is also a continuation of that. And that concludes the performance presentation, Chairperson. The next slides will be a reflection of how we have performed in terms of our expenditure as a department. I'm sure members would have the slides there. I'll ask Ms. Wadabaka to just beam that presentation. So in essence, we received an allocation of 3,282,870,000, and we spent 2,234,000,000, and the available budget at the time was just over a billion, and that translated to 68% expenditure versus time expired of 75%. So if you look at how we've spent the money, if you look at the current payments, we had a budget of 1.8 billion, and we spent 1.2, and at the time the available budget was 666 million, translated to 65% expenditure. Transfers and subsidies, we had 1.2, we spent 996, and the available budget at the time was 291. And payments for capital assets, we had 109 million, we spent 18, we had 91 available, and that translated to 17% expenditure, and the total expenditure was therefore 68%, as I indicated in the previous slide. If you look at the economic classification, compensation of if you break down the current payments in terms of the compensation of employees, we spent 67% of our budget at the time. and goods and services, which is mostly your operating budget, which is 60%, and in total we're sitting at 65%. And we also, from that 3 billion, we transfer money to the entities of the department, CCMA, NEDLAG, Productivity South Africa. We also have an allocation for the for public servants that are injured on duty, and that's the 16 million that is sitting there as a transfer to the compensation fund. We also make transfers as a form of a subsidy to workshops for the blind, National Council for the Blind, DIFSA, National Council for Physically Disabled. And the next slide just shows the total amount of money that we have transferred, which is just over 1.2 billion. And that translates to 77%. In essence, Chairperson, that's how we've fared as far as the finances of the department and the performance information are concerned. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members.
Thank you very much, CG. Welcome, Minister. I will now hand over to members, for members to ask questions